Once, uncounted months earlier, Ryan remembered trying to open a pair of sec doors within a redoubt, and finding that it released a flood of water.
I'll ease up the green lever to start the mechanism, JP, and you watch out for danger.
Sure.
Any sign of the sea or anything else triple dangerous, yell out and I'll drop the control again.
Right.
The rest of you get back into the gateway chamber. If it's bad, we'll need to start another jump sooner than now.
JB was crouched, his face to the cold stone, his glasses in one hand, fedora in the other. Michael, back within the sickly yellow armorglass walls of the chamber, was looking after JB's Smith & Wesson 4000 Flechette scattergun, as well as the Uzi.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, now!
The dark green lever moved as easily as a razor through a silk thread.
Dark night!
Ryan instantly threw the lever into reverse, bringing the sector grinding down the inch or so it had already risen.
What?
Sorry about that, Ryan. Didn't actually see anything, but the smell of the sea was just overwhelming.
Both men peered at the floor, but the dusty concrete was still bone dry.
Maybe we're close to water. It could be the redoubt's been split apart by quakes.
Huh. Nah, I can't see that.
Why not? You figure that someone would have gotten in here? And the power'd probably have gone if there was that sort of damage.
Yeah. Let's try lifting the door a little way again. If nothing comes in, I'll hold it around 8 or 9 inches, and you can take a look under.
What's happening?
Nothing. JB reckons that we must be close to the sea. Real close.
The green lever raised the curtain of sex steel for a second time. As Ryan halted it, the armorer flattened himself again on the floor.
Anything?
No, but yeah, I'm sure I can hear waves as well as smell them.
Think I should lift it all the way?
Why not?
Now there was no doubt about it. They could all hear the noise of lapping waves, and the dark green smell was almost overpowering. The lights in the corridor outside were shining brightly away to the right, much less strongly to the left, where the sound of the water seemed closest. They checked to the right first, Ryan taking the lead, and JB bringing up the rear. It didn't take long. In less than 50 yards, with no side turns or doors, the passage ended in an impenetrable fall of rock, immeasurably solid, roof to floor, looking like it had been there for all eternity. Ryan turned around and they walked away to the left, around the slight curve of the passage. The sound and feel of the ocean became more overwhelming with every step. They approached a sharp bend, with all of the lights beyond the corner gone out. The floor also began to slope steeply down. Ryan stopped in his tracks at what he saw.
Fire blast. That takes the wheels off.
As the tunnel dipped, it disappeared beneath the sullen surface of black water, which filled the passage completely, tiny waves whispering on the concrete. There was a stained line on the floor a few inches above the edge that looked like it might be a high tide mark. There was no way out.
What time is it, Dad?
Now, if my cron ain't broken, a few minutes after 5 in the morning.
None of them had been able to face the grim reality of tackling another jump without some sort of rest. Doc and Michael had been all for lying down right by the dark water and snatching some sleep there and then.
Surely we shall be safe enough here, will we not? The corridor is sealed, and nobody can come through the gateway at us. Why not rest a while, Ryan?
Suppose something came out of the water, Doc.
Ah, the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. More things in heaven and earth. I take your point, my dear fellow. Safety first.
So they'd all retreated into the control room of the Matrans unit to catch up on some rest, behind the locked and sealed sec doors. All of them were used to discomfort, but none found it easy to get a restful sleep. Eventually, Ryan had risen, intending to check the high water mark, finding that his son had silently joined him. He opened the sec doors, still exercising the same amount of caution, drawing his gun.
Nothing could get through, could it?
I don't know that. Isn't anybody could lay their hand on their heart and say there isn't some bastard muty creature somewhere around Deathlands that couldn't come through after us.
But the surface was serene, barely showing the tiniest ripples of wavelets. In the darkness of the passage, the pool was blacker than ink.
What if we swam through?
Where?
Well, Dad, if the redoubt used to be above land, then the corridor must go along farther, someplace.
It could be a mile underwater, Dean. You can't hold your breath that long.
Yeah, I could. Triple easy thing for me. Be a real scorching hot pipe deal.
There's times I can't understand a word you say, boy. I reckon I must be getting too old for all this.
Yeah, you are. But we... Dad?
What is it?
Thought I saw something.
Some kind of fish?
I don't think so. Just that the water kind of swirled around like something big had gone by.
Come on. Ryan placed his hand on the boy's shoulder, feeling a sudden swelling of paternal pride, a momentary flash of what it might be like to settle down with Christy and his son. It was something they talked about a lot over the past year or so, but it was always something for tomorrow, for the right time, the right place. It hadn't come yet. Everyone was awake, feeling the damp warmth seeping into them. Doc was leaning with his left hand on the desk, going through the motions of fencing with his sword stick.
Have at you, damnable poxy rogue! What, insult the king's musketeers, will you fellow? My cold steel will pierce your yellow liver, you gutter-spawned horse and coxcomb!
Michael was watching the old man's antics, his jaw slack with utter bewilderment. He turned toward JB and Ryan.
No, Michael, he hasn't gone triple crazy. Not this time.
Mock not the afflicted, John Barrymore Dix, lest ye also shall be mocked. I'm going to peruse the Blue Lagoon before being dragged once more into that hideous box of torture from which no traveler returns.
Doc pointed with a silver ferrule of his cane toward the gateway chamber.
Mind if I come along, Doc? I wouldn't mind a breath of fresh air.
Take my arm, dear lady.
They walked off together. Mildred took JB's hand.
Let's go see the ocean, shall we? I'm not honestly in that much of a hurry to get my brains into free fall.
Why don't we all go?
The tide had turned, drawing the sea a short distance down the corridor.
If we were in the Bay of Fundy, we could rely on a tidal drop of 30 feet or more. Probably enough to get us out. I am become the stopper of conversations. Read about the Bay of Fundy in a magazine in a dentist's waiting room. I considered... Was that a light?
Where?
No, beneath the waves. In the midnight abode of King Neptune. In the locker of Davy Jones. Look!
Everyone saw it this time. It was like a searchlight, far off and weak, showing itself in the depths of the water, and then vanishing again, briefly turning the sea a lighter shade of paler green. There... Gone. There again.
Gone! There's somebody down in the sea signaling to us.
Sunlight. It's dawn outside. When we jumped here, it was still dark in the world beyond the redoubt. That's the morning sun, showing itself through the waves outside, filtered down here.
Everyone stood silent, thinking about the implications of that.
It can't be all that far.
Maybe.
Are you saying we could swim out? Shooting's my game, and swimming's my shame. You put me in water and you got one big lead balloon.
Risky. No way of knowing what's out there. There could be a gap only a few inches wide. All kinds of rubble, metal, and shit like that.
I'll go!
Ryan knew that his son was able to swim like a fish, but sending him down into those menacing unknown depths was simply unthinkable.
No.
But I...
Remember what I've said before, Dean. There's a time to argue and a time to keep your mouth shut. Right now, it's time to keep your mouth shut.
Are we going to hazard our minds and our precious sanity on another of those two ghastly jumps? Or are we going to join together in a refreshing little morning dip in the breakers of the briny?
Too bad we don't have any rope. We could tie it around your waist, Ryan, to pull you back to safety if you got into difficulties.
Ryan hadn't bothered to strip off. He'd removed his long coat and knotted the arms into his belt so that it trailed after him like a rejected royal cloak. He'd also taken off the heavy combat boots, tying the laces together and looping them into his belt. The SSG-70 Steyr rifle was hauled tight across the shoulder.
Why not go through in your pants first? It's safer that way.
If it's safe, I'll get through with the blasters and all. If it's not, I'll come back and we'll make the jump that everyone's so keen about.
There weren't many things in Deathlands that frightened Ryan Cawdor. Fear was something that you learned to dominate, or you let it dominate you and spent your life cringing at every shadow in a dark corner. But in his heart, Ryan wasn't looking forward to diving into the unknown. When he'd been about 7 years old, he'd been swimming with other lads from his home villa Front Royal in the lower waters of a mill stream. After the turbulence of the race, it eased into a shadowed pool, fringed with scrub oak. The rusted remains of an ancient pre-dark truck rested in the deepest part there, and it was a challenge to swim down, lungs bursting and heart fluttering, to sit in the driver's cab and hold the rotted spokes of the old steering wheel. His brother Harvey had been among the other boys, as Ryan, the youngest in the group by 3 years, had taken his turn in the challenge. Harvey had dived after him and pushed the door shut, trapping him in the cab. Ryan had never forgotten that moment of eye-popping panic, the terror making him gasp and choke in the muddied water. Only by an enormous effort of self-control